Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's your boy TP Timeless back at the helm, holding it down for Sports City. You already know what time it is. The free agency madness began at midnight today. So I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The Cafe Timeless is alive. The Master Chefs are now in session. Let's go. Sports City.
Let me get my thing. Let me get my thing music. Hey, let me get my thing music. Hey, let me get my thing music.
Baby, just forget everything that you know. Let's take it all the way back to hello. They say you're living like you've died before. I got a place that only I can go. Ooh, let me take you to flight school.
We'll learn to fly.
Ooh, let me take you to flight school. Hey, you never been so high, kiss the ground goodbye. And you say, damn, baby, how did you get that fly? Flight school.
Okay. The caller number is 917-889-9592. You got the next 90 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but you're here with the Chefs. And like I said, the frenzy is underway, and there's a lot of stuff jumping around in the NBA. So sit on down here in this cafe because we got a lot of stuff to jump into. And I'm feeling some type of way right now, Sports City, so I'm beside myself. But we'll get to them dishes soon. So let me get to my cast. My brothers, if you will, let me get these guys in here, calling in by way of the state of South Carolina, my co-host on the Monday Night Sport Wrap-Up, the Cookout, the Brunch, wherever you see me, you see this guy, Mr. Knight, a.k.a. Nostradamus. Welcome to the cafe. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm good. How's everybody doing?
We doing all right. About to get this show rolling. I definitely want to hear this guy's opinion, that's for sure, because everything is now underway. Last but not least, until this kitchen starts to fill in, and let me know if you're calling in. Press 1, let me know if you want to get in here. We're calling in by way of the state of Georgia. You guys know him from every different network that he has tuned in to us. He's been giving us a lot of work and praise out there in the world today. Keep up with him. Slim Jim, a.k.a. Mr. Fitzgerald, welcome to the cafe. How are you feeling this evening?
Man, I'm feeling hot, man, for real. If I listen real closely, I can hear our ancestors singing Negro spirituals. It's so hot down here in Georgia. But it's nice to be in the kitchen, though.
Talking about the heat, that's I'm not a fan of the summer. I'm gonna be real. I love the fall, and everybody know why. I'm a fall and beginning of winter type of guy. Once January, February kick in, you know, you got to stay inside. But for me, anywhere from September on down. But let's get into this doggone thing because I'm feeling some type of way. We got a lot of interesting stuff popping off in the kitchen, but I can't dodge the elephant in the room, people. That's right. The elephant in the room is DJ, a.k.a. DeAndre Jordan. And a week ago, the situation was DeAndre was leaving the Clippers to go to Dallas to sign a 4-year deal and kind of line up with Dirk and company. Well, you had the big portion of the Clippers organization go down to his home in Houston and basically help him change his mind to get him to stay in L.A. And the pieces of the situation that were there were Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, Doc Rivers, and the owner, Steve Ballmer. All four of these pieces went to DeAndre's home and stayed there until after midnight to make sure that they got him back in L.A. They got him to change his mind and get him to stay home with the team that basically started everything for him and getting the heightened situation around him. I want to see how you guys feel about both sides of the spectrum. Now, Sports City, this is going to be a very heavy dish, so I know we're going to start off jumping all over the place. But first, I want to know about how everybody feels about how the Clippers organization basically got some of the strong, interesting pieces to get him to change his mind. And then, two, how the Mavericks look after the mayhem. Because right now, I guess I'm going to speak for myself, but I want to see how the Chefs feel. I think Dallas is in danger or big trouble after DeAndre basically went back to L.A. But this, anything could happen. Anything could happen. They could come up with some decent signings and turn things around in Dallas. But right now, without DeAndre Jordan, they basically put all their chips in one basket and or all the eggs in one basket, and they actually fell short. So now they don't have a solid big right now. But I want to see how the guys feel in the kitchen. Chael, I'll let you set this one off first. The aftermath after DeAndre Jordan. And speaking on both respective organizations, whether it's the Clippers or the Mavericks, however you want to start it off first.
Well, for me, for the people that are criticizing DeAndre Jordan, they need to shut up. He didn't sign out a contract. And the way these NBA teams don't keep their words to the fans, why should a player keep his word to the team? You'll have teams tell players, oh, sign with us, and we're going to do this, 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 and this. And then once he signs the contract, they don't put any players around him. They tell him, well, you're under contract, shut up and play, all of those things. But DeAndre Jordan, because he said, yeah, I'll sign with you, he was just supposed to sign with them. I'm glad Mark Cuban got screwed. Mark Cuban showed just how much of a baby he was, him and his brother, with their tweets on Twitter last night, the things they said to Chris Broussard. It was just disrespectful and it was wrong. You know what? The fact of the matter is most athletes, and the more talented they are insecure. The more talented they are, the more insecure they are. So, yeah, I can understand why when this all started and DeAndre Jordan made the comment about Chris Paul, I said on here, I had a problem with that, and I kept saying, and that's why we really didn't touch on it, because the fact of the matter is DeAndre Jordan just wanted to feel wanted. He wanted to feel wanted.
Go ahead, Chandler. Go ahead.
He wanted the team that he was playing for, that he had grown up with, the family he had grown up with, to act like they wanted him. Bottom line, he wanted them to act like they wanted him. He got his feelings hurt. Okay. Ain't nothing wrong with that. We're allowed to have feelings as men. Guess what? We're allowed to get our feelings hurt and get our behind up on our shoulders and say, we're going to leave. If all the reports are correct, he's the one who reached out to the Clippers and said, you know, I really don't want to go, but y'all act like y'all ain't want me to stay. At that point, Doc Rivers and them said, well, we didn't know that. We messed up. And then they went and then they put the full court press on, and they played spades all night while Mark Cuban was driving around Houston trying to find out where DeAndre Jordan lived. I love it. I love the mental picture of Mark Cuban driving around Houston, calling up everybody he can think of and trying to get DeAndre Jordan's address. And by the way, DeAndre Jordan should fire his agent, because the whole reason this thing started was because of the relationship between his agent and Mark Cuban. Not DeAndre Jordan really wanting to go there, but his agent was steering him there because his agent is buddies with Mark Cuban. That's something that people are leaving out, because one of the things that happened last night was his agent wasn't there. His agent was not there last night, and that is why DeAndre Jordan is still a Clipper. I think that's the team he should have stayed with. I don't think it was a good fit for him in Dallas. I love the fact that Dallas is now a lottery team. Like I said, I don't have a problem with what he did. I thought it was comical. I think it's comical, all the comments coming out of Dallas now. You signed Wesley Matthews for $70 million. That's your consolation prize. So you got Wesley Matthews, Dirk Nowitzki, and Chandler Parsons. Yeah, I'll see you in the lottery, Cuban.
Look. And save that, because we're going to get to the Wes Matthews situation also. One more thing before I throw in the Slim Jim. Your thoughts on how this thing materializes in L.A. now that one of the pieces out of the situation was DeAndre barking about how CP3 was barking at him. So do they actually get the CP3 to calm down and take some of the, you know, the big man, little guy syndrome out of him? Or does CP3 keep that tenacity in him? Because that's what gets him to go. That's what makes him tick at the end of the day.
No, I think they supposedly had a conversation about it. But what DeAndre Jordan needs to understand is do you want a point guard who's going to try to push you to make you better, or do you want to go somewhere where you can just do what you want and turn back into that second rounder that you remember? He was a second round draft pick. It took a lot of work from a lot of people to get him to where he is. He didn't get here on his own. It took other people helping him. So he needs to get over that particular portion of the program. He needs to grow up a little bit in that particular area and understand where Chris has come from. Maybe Chris Paul can be a little better in how he addresses him, because everybody doesn't take well of being yelled at. So maybe Chris Paul can take a look at that and say, okay, instead of yelling at him, maybe I can talk to him and get my point across in a different way. But at the end of the day, Chris Paul has to be himself. And DeAndre Jordan, in that aspect, as far as I'm concerned, that's the one aspect he needs to grow up a little bit more with and understand that, you know what, this is, you know what, it is who, this guy is who he is. You are who you are, okay? Without him, you are not getting that $88 million contract, so shut up and play.
Okay, Slim, your thoughts on both sides of the spectrum, one with Dallas and the mayhem that they're facing now that DeAndre is out of the way, and two, life with part two, shall I say, with DeAndre coming back to L.A. after all the efforts that the organization put in of having at least four of the notables from that organization go down to Houston to get DeAndre to re-sign.
Well, I mean, on the Clippers' end of it, they put in their work because they knew without DeAndre Jordan, all their other moves really were irrelevant. Getting Paul Pierce, getting Lance Stephenson, Wesley Johnson coming to the fold. All of that is all well and good as long as they got their defensive, one of the best defensive centers in the league playing in the middle to go and anchor their defense. You know, if he's not there, then all those moves are irrelevant. So they had to go in and plead, you know, and beg their woman to come back home. So they did what they were supposed to do. If they're really serious about making a run at a Western Conference title, much less an NBA title, they need to go and have DeAndre Jordan in tow. So that was the right move. Kind of put Dallas in a lurch, though, because they wouldn't have gone and let Tyson Chandler go in their way like they did if they didn't feel like they had DeAndre Jordan locked up. So it kind of puts the Dallas organization in a bad predicament. In the end, I feel sorry for Dirk Nowitzki. You know, it's kind of like, you know, he's kind of like the background casualty to all this. You know, he was there, you know, taking pay cuts in order to go have DeAndre Jordan or other pieces come to Dallas and going to help him make one more run at this. Now he's looking real suspect. I mean, all they've really done in the offseason is gone and lock up Wesley Matthews. And, I mean, he's what, an Achilles tendon bust away for being out for a season again. It's looking bad for Dallas. I mean, in the end, I'm kind of with Chandler on there. It couldn't happen to the magic person to Mark Cuban. But, you know, Dallas is going to be in trouble. That's a playoff spot that's up for grabs now. Them in Portland, it looks. And as far as the Clippers, man, they've got everybody pretty much intact. You know, they've added three pieces. They've gotten bigger. They've gotten longer on the perimeter. So, I mean, and they got the anchor of their defense back. So the Clippers are looking real good right about now. I would have gone and held the whole family hostage, too, to go and get that dude to go and sign. And another thing, too, this is just something I went and picked up on ESPN a few hours ago. It turns out that DeAndre Jordan's agent was supposed to be friends with Mark Cuban, that this deal was done without the agent. I found that kind of interesting. So this is pretty much DeAndre Jordan's choice. I don't even think the agent really had any influence whatsoever on what DeAndre Jordan did.
Okay, and also, do you agree with Chandler? Do you think CP3 stays to his true form and has that fire tenacity to still continue to keep barking at DeAndre, just like Chandler said, and I agree with him, to get the best effort out of DeAndre, or do you think there's a situation where he kind of, you know, dials back and more or less lets DeAndre kind of flow into himself and try to get the best out of him in his way, I guess?
Man, that dude is making $88 million. CP3 better stay on that dude because because DeAndre Jordan wouldn't even be in a position to get that money if it wasn't for CP3 staying on his neck. He pretty much, you know, he owes a lot of that money to Chris Paul. If we really go and just pay attention to what's happening to DeAndre Jordan and the transformation that he's taken over the last few seasons, he owes a lot of that check to Chris Paul, and he owes a lot of it to Doc Rivers. They worked with that man. So, in the end, CP3 needs to stay on his neck and continue to go and make him one of the best big men in the game. Because without CP3, this payday does not happen.
Okay, so there's another elephant in the room situation I want to get into and see how you guys feel about this. Now, I you know, he opted out of the contract, but he already signed as soon as this free agency madness began today at midnight. But LeBron James, he signed another 2-year deal. This one is for 46 plus over the next 2 years. I want to see how you guys feel about this, especially in Cleveland, where he was vowing to try and get Tristan Thompson's situation done. Well, he made sure that he was solidified before anything else. Your thoughts on the Cleveland organization and LeBron signing as of this point. Slim, I'll come to you first.
It was all business. That was the whole point of him opting out, was to go and make sure that everybody else was taken care of. They went and got Kevin Love taken care of, went and got Tristan Thompson taken care of. They're still talking about trying to go and get Joe Johnson. I doubt they're going to be able to go and work that under the cap. But, I mean, look, he's seen enough. That was the whole point of him opting out. He wanted to go and see what the organization was going to do. He went and saw enough to where he felt comfortable of going and taking another two-year deal for the 46.5 or something like that. He did right. And, I mean, he could probably still get out after the 1 year. You know, that second year is an option year. So, in the end, he just simply saw enough to where he felt comfortable and get his money. That's all you can say. Cleveland is going to be a front runner in the East. It makes perfect sense. So, he's worth a max deal. He has an option to go and leave after next season.
Chandler, your thoughts on LeBron? I know we put him on the stove a lot here in the kitchen. Knowing how they wanted to make sure they locked up a lot of these guys, they got Shumpert, they got Love. LeBron's back. Your thoughts on this situation out there in Ohio with LeBron making this thing get done as soon as possible?
Well, it's kind of what Slim said. Everybody, he made sure, but listen, every one of them cats that got a contract need to give him 10%, okay, because he was their agent. Amon Shumpert is not getting $40 million from anybody else. Let's be clear on that. He's not getting that money from anybody else except Cleveland because of LeBron James. And not for nothing, LeBron is underpaid. If the numbers are true with what he brings to the economy in that city, if it is truly that he is worth close to $1 billion in revenue to that city, then $46 million ain't enough. It's not enough. And I don't blame him. And that's what I would do if I were him the rest of his career, is go on those two-year deals with his option in the second year so he can opt out and ensure that he stays the highest-paid player every single year he's in the league. I don't have a problem with anything he's done. If you have the opportunity as a player to wield the hammer as long as you can.
Okay, now, here goes another situation that Chandler kind of alluded to, and I want to see how you guys feel about this. Slim, I'm going to come to you first because I kind of want Chandler to build up on this one. The Wes Matthews deal grows even bigger that DeAndre is not in the picture in Dallas. Now, here's an interesting situation on how I look at this. You mean to tell me that this guy's coming back from an Achilles injury? Now, mind you, Wes Matthews can shoot the ball. He's great on the offensive side of the ball. I do respect what he can do offensively. But you have to think about everything, his long-term situation, if he still has that spring off the floor, if he can defend. That was one of the gripes about him, that he doesn't play strong defense also. Him being in the Western Conference, he's kind of in a vulnerable situation being with his Mavericks team. Your thoughts on Wes Matthews getting more money, this Maverick team, instead of them trying to put more pieces around him, they let him soak up more, and he just tore his Achilles. Your thoughts?
Yeah, that four-year $70 million that Wes Matthews got so far, that's like, I put that contract right there with the Shepard contract that Challengers wouldn't alluded to. Those are two contracts that are kind of head-scratchers. Like, man, I don't know if that dude really not so much deserved the money, but is worth that kind of money. I mean, Shumpert, you know, he plays defense, but, you know, he's offensive liability. Wesley Matthews, $70 million? I mean, good Lord. I mean, coming off the injury that he did, I mean, I know he can shoot, but good Lord. And Achilles, and this is supposedly a team that's supposed to be building around Dirk Nowitzki to go and make a playoff run. That's not fiscally responsible. That's just in my opinion. I don't know what everybody else in the class thinks, but just for me, I have a hard time spending $70 million on somebody that's damaged. And, I mean, you know, it's a shame Royce isn't here, but I'm pretty sure Royce is going to pull the quote-unquote player card and see that Wesley Matthews goes and stays injured. Every year something ends up going wrong with Wesley Matthews to where he ends up out for 15, 20 games or more. I don't know, man. It just seems like 4 years, $70 million for a player – that is injury prone is like really suspect. You kind of got to look at Mark Cuban and Donnie Nelson like, man, where's your business sense? What are you really trying to do? Especially when you could have gotten, man, Marco Bellinelli was $14.4 million, I want to say. You could have got him for cheap, and he would have done the same thing. Barely played any defense, shot from the perimeter. It really doesn't make any sense. But, you know, to Dallas, they feel that he's worth $70 million. Good luck with that. But if that dude is hurt, you know, by 2 weeks after the All-Star break, what's your money looking like then?
Mm-hmm. Now, Chandler, I know this is something that we spoke on last night outside of the kitchen. Your thoughts on this situation where Wes Matthews, his deal increased? After the situation occurred with DeAndre, him with a 4-year over 70, and knowing that they, and this in Sports City, I'm going to let you in on the conversation outside of the kitchen that me and Chandler had, knowing that they already have point guard issues with guys like Raymond Felton and Devin Harris, who they have there right now. J.J. Barea is looking to move, but who knows how that situation looks. They don't even really have a solid point, even though I was joking with Chandler and saying that they have Raymond, they have Devin, these guys to get this situation done. They put a lot of interest toward Wes Matthews. I mean, is this the right way they should have gone? I mean, knowing that you already alluded to them being a lottery team, do you think Wes Matthews can have some spark to be on the other side of the floor, let's say, per se, outside of Dirk Nowitzki and make this offense still work and be a decent team? I don't want to say a powerhouse any longer because they've lost some interesting pieces, but they have Parsons, they have Matthews, if his Achilles holds up, and Dirk as well. But your thoughts with this situation with Wes Matthews and this organization?
Let me see. When Kobe Bryant, coming off an Achilles injury, signed that deal, he was killed. He was killed. Mark Cuban jumped up and down, and he had some comments. Everybody had something to say. Kobe was greedy. Let's take a look at the Dallas Mavericks. You don't have a center. You don't have a point guard. You give 70. Your star player is 38 years old and far down on the downside of his career. He's basically a jump shooter now. He's a 7-foot jump shooter now. He don't rebound anymore. He don't put any moves on anybody anymore. He don't drive to the hole anymore. He just stands out there and shoots 3-pointers. So you sign Wes Matthews, who was a good player. He's a good player. Wes Matthews is not a scorer. He's not a defender. He's not a passer. He's a little of all of those things. He is a Swiss Army knife. Swiss Army knife is great, but when you get in a knife fight, you kind of want a sword, not a Swiss Army knife. It's one of the dumber signings, I think, and the fact that they gave him even more money when nobody else was going to sign him for the money they first agreed to. Let's be clear. The money they first agreed to, no one was going to give Wesley Matthews that. So you then bid against yourself and up the ante. Why? Because you were afraid he would leave too? He wasn't going nowhere. You were the only person dumb enough to offer him the first contract. You think he was going to go anywhere else? No one else wanted him. Let's be clear, not at 15-some-odd million. No one else was going to offer Wesley Matthews the money he was asking for. No one. I think this is the setup that gives Mark Cuban the ability now for the next 2 years to blame DeAndre Jordan for his team not making the playoffs. He now has a built-in scapegoat. Well, I had to overpay Wesley Matthews because of DeAndre Jordan. Everybody else was gone because of DeAndre Jordan. You didn't have a plan B, Cuban. You were supposed to have a plan B because you never know what could go wrong. What if this guy that you were counting on, what if he got a DUI? What if he, you know, raped him? So, you understand what I'm saying? There was a lot of things could have gone wrong between the time he agreed to that contract and the time he came to officially sign it. And Dallas did not have a plan B. Now they're caught with their pants down. The Wesley Matthews signing, I have no clue why you would increase the money you're giving him. And Slim is right. Wesley Matthews will probably be injured by the All-Star break, if not sooner, because he is rushing.
Let's say outside of the injury, let's try to be optimistic about it. Let's say he does, you know, survive without, you know, being injured. You know, let's throw that in there.
The best case you can hope for from him is 10 to 15 points a game tops. Is 15 points a game worth $70 million? Seriously. The best you're going to hope for from him, and let's be honest, look at his career stats. He's not a 20-point-a-game guy. He's a 10 to 15 point a game guy max. That's his ceiling. He'll get you 3 or 4 rebounds. He'll get you a steal or two. You're paying $70 million basically for a glorified sixth man, which is really what he is. $70 million for a sixth man. You could have got a couple of guys for that $70 million. A couple of guys. You could have got Costa Kufis. Okay? You could have got Kyle O'Quinn. You could have talked to the Boston Celtics about Kelly Olynyk or Jared Sullivan just as they were on the block. You could have traded for David Lee. You know, you could have got the kid Corey Joseph. You know, you could have $70 million for Wesley Matthews doesn't make sense. Not just in a vacuum, but overall, you have no point guard. This is Raymond Felton's year to come in fat. Raymond Felton is an every other year guy when he comes in out of shape. Okay, last season he was in shape, but he was injured. Guess what year this is? This is the year for Fat Raymond. So Fat Raymond is showing up to camp this year. And anybody who's watched his career knows I'm not lying. Raymond Felton, every other year, you look at his numbers, every other year he has a good season. Last season was his year to have a good season, but he was injured. So this is the year you're going to get Fat Raymond. Devin Harris has had a broken back for 5 years. Plus, he still weighs only 6 pounds and can't take a fall. Plus, he's a terrible point guard. And you gave Wesley Matthews $70 million. Why?
Wait. Here's what makes it so cold. You already hear in the media that the backup plan would have been for Dallas to tank. You lightweight hear rumors that Cuban wanted to tank if things didn't work out right. If he knew that all this was going to happen, he was planning on tanking. So, yeah, the DeAndre Jordan built-in excuse, oh, yeah, it's there.
Now here's the situation I'm thinking about with the Cuban ordeal. If Cuban is to sit up here and blame it on DeAndre, do you think DeAndre Jordan cares? Like, and not to say that in respect toward you, Chandler, I'm just saying in general, if that's the safety blanket that he's going to use, any other team in the Western Conference is going to use any advantage to get ahead. Like, I could care less if Dirk is struggling and you guys are under 500 and not making the playoffs and not getting your notable 50 wins in the season. I don't want to see you guys ball. I don't want to see Blake trying to D Dirk on the perimeter. Like no, I don't. I'd rather see you out in the playoffs. So that's point blank how I feel. We are at full strength. Go ahead, Chandler, and I'm going to let somebody in.
The excuse is for the fans, not for the team. The excuse is for the fans. This keeps the fans paying money, and it keeps them distracted. As long as he can blame DeAndre Jordan, no one's going to look at him and say, why didn't you have a plan B? Knowing, and in reality, this tanking was his plan B. Mark Cuban didn't become a billionaire by being stupid, people. The tanking was his plan B. So this gives him the ability to tank without taking any flack for it from the paying customers.
Okay, we are at full strength right now, calling in by way of the state of Indiana, Arkeezy, a.k.a. Mr. King. Welcome to the cafe. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm a little tired, fellas. Been running up and down the court, but I'm glad I made it to the kitchen. Throw me a meal, man. I'm hungry.
Okay, well, you pick up right where we're at right now. Your thoughts on what's going on down there in Dallas. I'll let you actually put this together. Now, we were already talking about the Wes Massey situation, and earlier we already talked about DeAndre and him signing back with the Clippers. If you want to talk about how the Mavericks look now that DeAndre is no longer going to Dallas, and also how much money they put toward Wes Matthews, is this going to be a problem, or do you think that they still could be a middle-of-the-pack team in the Western Conference?
Well, you know, I guess the first thing I'll touch on is I'm sure DeAndre Jordan's been cooked and roasted pretty good by now, at least I would hope so, with the way he's been flip-flopping and pretty much reneged on his verbal commitment. I mean, I get it. It's a free agency, a moratorium, and you get to make a commitment, and you don't always have to follow through, but the whole point in making a commitment is the expectation that you're going to follow through. So, in my opinion, DeAndre Jordan has to be viewed as the new Dwight Howard. I mean, that's just the bottom line. I mean, I don't really have any words for him. I'm disappointed. I'm not going to be much of a fan at this point. How does it affect the Mavericks? They weren't really going to be a championship contender, in my opinion, with DeAndre Jordan. The conversations about him being a franchise player, go-to guy, and potential, you know, be the dude, you know, once Dirk wasn't around, like, that's bogus. I mean, Chandler Parsons is the guy. That's why they brought him in there. He's already got that tag. So whatever it was DeAndre Jordan was looking for, he probably didn't believe it either. That's probably why he reneged and went back to Clipperland. As far as Wesley Matthews, look, I respect Mark Cuban, and I respect Wesley Matthews both in the sense that, you know, Mark Cuban offered Matthews the opportunity to go elsewhere if it was contingent upon DeAndre Jordan. And Matthews is his own man, and he, look, he held firm to his commitment. He's there, and he's going to move forward. And it's like, why try to get money elsewhere, given the fact that he is coming off an Achilles injury, and he got such a big payday. And no one knows if he's going to return and be the exact same Wesley Matthews. So kudos to him. Where does this leave the Dallas Mavericks, you know, organization, franchise? I mean, pretty much right where it was. I mean, they're going to contend. I mean, they've got Dirk. And when I say contend, I mean contend for a playoff spot. You know, so, I mean, whether they get in or not, that's going to always come down to what it comes down to for all 30 teams in the NBA. And that's health. And other than that, you know, that's just really all I have to say about that whole situation with Dallas at this point in time, what would occur with, you know, DeAndre Jordan, Wesley Matthews, and Mark Cuban.
Now, let's just bid on a situation that they all teams are healthy in a situation. Let's just say that everybody has a fresh bill of health all throughout the season. Do you still think Dallas is a legit shot to be one of the top 8 teams out west?
Look, I've been away from the net most of the day. I don't know if they've addressed their point guard situation yet, and that's crucial. You know, it's so vital and essential to that team. But contend for a top 8, I mean, look, teams in the West have gotten better, and if everybody's healthy, it's going to be difficult. The Pelicans are going to play an up-and-down tempo. Alvin Gentry's committed to having – you know, Anthony Davis add the three-pointer, the corner three ball to his resume. You know, you still got Phoenix out there. You know, the Minnesota Timberwolves, a very young, talented team. You know, Flip Saunders, I think, is going to do a better job this season with them as those guys get another season under their belt. It's just plenty of talent out west. It's loaded. Are they a top 8 seed? I think with good health, good coaching and execution, sure, they're still a top 8 team. I mean, look, Dirk was a league MVP for a reason, a finals MVP. Until Dirk retires, I mean, in my opinion, they've always got a shot out west.
Interesting. We have a mix of opinions here in the kitchen because the panel, I think, actually is leading to Dallas being on the outside looking in. And give or take the situation that you just addressed with the point guard issues that they do have with Raymond and Devin at this point, depending on if they do address it or not. But I do understand where you're coming from, knowing that they do have a guy that can notably get you anywhere from 22 to 24 a night. He's going to draw attention from other guys, defenders. So we'll see how this does end up, you know, legging out for this Dallas Mavericks team. But I think they can end up potentially struggling. And all eyes will more or less be on either Carlisle or Cuban or management at the end of the day, or not handling this the right way. But if they do come up with a legit shot to still remain one of the relative teams in the top 8 in the Western Conference, you know, depending on fresh bill of health for everybody, including how West bounces back off of this Achilles injury, because I think this is big. He still has to get that lift off to get that jumper out. So I do want to see how this pans out. Any one of you want to address the situation that either me or Roy spoke on toward Dallas before we get away from it? Okay, the silence helps me. Okay, an interesting signing. We have another interesting signing that's going on right now, and I think they are actually loading up in the front court, and it's actually making it pretty much more of an interesting situation out in L.A., and I am not talking about the Clippers. We already discussed that, but the Los Angeles Lakers look like they've got their big man in the paint with Roy Hibbert. Now, I know I'm biased. I'm a Hoyer fan. I say that he's made all-star teams, so on and so forth. Can he exist with Kobe and company, especially with this possibly being the farewell tour of Kobe Bryant, but also looking alongside him? He has some interesting youngsters with D'Angelo Russell, Julius Randle being another big that they have in the paint also. Can this actually be a very interesting season for the Los Angeles Lakers being led by Byron Scott and Kobe Bryant and company? Slim, I'll come to you first.
I'm here. Look, there's no risk in them taking Roy Hibbert. I mean, in the end, I think he's getting, what, $15 million this year, and then after that he's going to be off the books. It's the last year of his contract. That's the biggest reason why the Lakers went and snatched that dude up. He's going to be extra money for the kitty come next season when they go and hit free agency with a Brinks truck. So you can go and take the risk of bringing in Roy Hibbert. It's not going to hurt. They're not going to make the playoffs. I mean, it wasn't like the Lakers were going to be world beaters all of a sudden. They're still a lottery team. But at least they got somebody going to play in the paint, going to be a rim protector. Hopefully Julius Randle will be healthy. Hopefully Kobe can go and stay healthy. That's the biggest thing. Hopefully Kobe can go and stay on the court for longer than, what, 30, 40 games. It'd be nice to see him play about 70, you know, 65, 70 games this year. But, I mean, as far as Roy Hibbert goes, this is more of an investment because once he's off the books, that's extra money in your pocket. And then you can go and really go after a free agent next year. There's going to be a few players that's going to be available next year. I think a certain individual that's in Oklahoma City might be available next summer. So, I mean, being able to go and have that kind of money up in your pocket is sure going to look good. And that's going to be an extra $15 million on top of whatever extra they're going to have. So, nice investment for the Lakers. It's going to work out kind of cool. You know, they got a big man for the season as far as that goes. And then after that, they're not going to re-sign him. So, that's a good risk.
Okay, Royce, your thoughts on Roy Hibbert out in L.A.? Do you think this actually works? Do you think Kobe will be the one that digs in him if he has one of those no-point, no-rebound type of games, knowing his potential? Your thoughts on Hibbert being another big for this Lakers organization?
Thomas, you know what I want. I want Kobe Bryant to play as many games as possible, and I want him to just really get under Roy Hibbert's skin. I predict that Roy Hibbert will be so frazzled for a majority of the season with Kobe at his neck. Roy is temperamental, man. Just watching him since he came here, I mean, the guy doesn't handle adversity well. You know, on the court, he doesn't handle adversity well in the locker room with teammates. And, I mean, the reality is, I mean, he's just a big softy. There's no fire in his oven. You don't see it in his play at all, at any time. The moments where he had good games, the season where he made the All-Star team, still not really impressive. It wasn't dominant. I mean, this is a seven-footer who doesn't regularly shoot above 50%. That's a problem. Too many jumpers. That's poor, you know, positioning, horrible footwork. He can't hold his man off when he's posting up. Does he understand defense to the point of, I thought he was a master of the, you know, the verticality rule for the most part a couple seasons ago. But when Roy Hibbert checks out, he checks out. And he's useless to have on your roster. And that's what the Indiana Pacers suffered through last season without Paul George. You're talking about a grand opportunity to shine. Get your dollars up. Yes, you're going into the final season of your contract, but last year was perfect for Roy to establish himself in the league as truly a dominant big man. That did not happen. No Paul George, no Lance Stephenson. David West was struggling and missed a few games. Lou Scola, you can't really count on him. Where was Big Roy? Where was he? Just the same in L.A., but the difference is he's going to hear about it, and he's going to be in the media all the time, and because he plays for the Lakers, they are going to, I don't know, man, run Roy Hibbert out of town. First Take, Sports Center, Kobe, Twitter, Instagram, you name it. Roy Hibbert's going to be plastered everywhere. He's going to be the joke of 2015, 2016. Watch and see.
Wow, already talking about getting harsh in the kitchen. He's not playing around. Okay, fair. Okay, so he said the joke of the 2015-2016 season. We'll see. We'll watch this close. Chandler, your thoughts on the situation. Do you agree with Roy for this situation, of Roy actually being a blunder, alongside Kobe Bryant? Do you think he could be an impact with this team and buying in the Byron Scott system? Your thoughts if Hibbert actually makes this work out there in Hollywood?
This is the best thing that ever happened to Roy Hibbert. And it's going to be one of the best things the Lakers have done in a long time. Roy Hibbert needs to play with Kobe Bryant. Roy Hibbert checked out in Indiana because that situation was toxic. From the top down, that situation is toxic. It wasn't a good environment for him. It wasn't a good place for him. He didn't even have a coach who knew how really to use him or to help him become a better center. They did nothing to help him become better. Yes, they could have brought in some people to help work with him. Listen, Indiana, they got exactly what they deserved with everything that was going on there. Okay, he checked out. Okay. But I love him going to L.A. I think this is going to revitalize his career. I think he's going to get to learn how to play center, because it's not like the Los Angeles Lakers don't have a plethora of Hall of Fame big men to come work with him. He played at Georgetown last I checked, so he's not mentally soft. He did play at Georgetown. And John Thompson, Big John Thompson, is still around that program. And Big John Thompson still works with the big men there. And John Thompson is no shrinking violet, okay? Roy Hibbert progressed every year he was in college. He progressed his first few years in the league, and then they changed the chemistry and the makeup of that team, and things shifted for him where he was in an environment where he didn't trust anybody. And we don't trust nobody that you're working with that you have to be able to trust. You ain't going to play well. So he checked out mentally. I get it. By the All-Star break, people will be raving about Roy Hibbert. They will be questioning what the hell happened in Indiana and why they couldn't get this out of him. All he's ever needed is a situation where he had a top dog personality to run with, to run behind, and let that person lead. And, yes, is he a follower? Absolutely he is. He needs a grade-A personality. He needs an alpha male to pump him up. And Kobe knows how to work with big men, okay? What was the dude's name they won a couple of rings with? The one who every other team he went through couldn't stand him. Matter of fact, the Philadelphia 76ers asked him to leave the team.
Andrew Bynum.
Thank you. Somehow Kobe made it work with Andrew Bynum. Quite sure. He's going to do, and Andrew Bynum profited financially and basketball-wise by playing with Kobe Bryant. I see the same thing for Roy Hibbert. I think this is the best place for him to go. Byron Scott knows how to work with big men. He's used to playing with big men. He knows how to work with big men. Byron Scott understands how to work it and deal with guys that are a little, or some people they call them soft, assistant, whatever words you want to use. He knows how to deal with guys like that as well and get the best out of them. Because last I checked, he was a coach with Keith Van. Didn't he have Keith Van Horn when he was there in Jersey?
Yeah.
Okay, and Keith Van Horn is one of the more thin-skinned basketball players that have come through the tri-state area in a long time. Okay? And he got the best out of him. This is a perfect situation for Roy Hibbert because he's going to a franchise that understands how to deal with temperamental big men because they've had every single different kind you could have. They understand it. And I think Kobe riding him will be good for him. I don't think he'll take it as anything other than I'm getting yelled at by a Hall of Famer, so I might want to listen. Who in the hell was he going to listen to in Indiana that had actually done anything? There was nobody on that team that had actually done anything, including the coach. So why would he listen to any of them? Who are you to yell at me? You ain't done a damn thing in this league either.
Okay, we have
Man, Roy Hibbert. Yeah. The Pacers brought in the Laker legend you're talking about in terms of the big men, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Bird, putting with Abdul-Jabbar. He worked with him. I don't know if that was maybe around the time he may have been an all-star, 12-8, 13-8. That's average. You know, a good center is consistently, 13-8 with a couple blocks. That's your average good center. A lot of seasons for Roy Hibbert, less than that, doing his player card. And he spent time, working out with Tim Duncan in the offseason on numerous occasions. 10 or 11-6, 10-7, 11-7, 11-6. I mean, he can do so much more, in my opinion. I mean, that's what I'm used to when you are a product of Georgetown. So, for me, growing up watching the Hoyas, the guy's a disappointment. He's not a chip off the old block, as you would say. He leaves you wanting, and it's frustrating to watch. I can't build in excuses about, what was going on in Indiana was so toxic. It wasn't. It fell apart in January, that's two seasons ago. You can't blame Lance. He wasn't here last year. Paul wasn't even barely around once he broke his leg until he could be around. There's no problem there. Where are you at? You got to answer. You're a pro. If you're a pro, your job is to go out on the offensive end, post up, establish your position. Hey, let me see a Shaquille O'Neal. Hit me with a drop step and dunk one time. Please, I'm begging. Like, I want to see him be successful, but I haven't seen it. That's my issue with Roy. So, yeah, is he going to L.A.? Is he with Byron Scott? And do those guys have experience working with big men? Does Kobe have experience working with big men? Absolutely. I agree with all of that. But it's Roy. I'm not concerned about the Lakers and all of what they bring to the table. I'm concerned about Roy stepping up and doing what he needs to do. And I just don't think it's in his makeup.
Because you're expecting something out of him that he doesn't have. If you look at him, he's awkward. He's extremely awkward. Okay?
Yes.
Remember Othello Harrington? And everybody claimed he was a disappointment. He wasn't. He played to the ceiling of his talent level. Roy Hibbert is not that physically gifted. He's not. He's really not. He is mechanical because he's not physically gifted. So if you get 12-8 from him and he's blocking 2 to 3 shots a game, that's his ceiling. That's his ceiling, believe it or not. That's his ceiling. That's all he's got. That's all, if you look at him realistically, that's all you should expect from him. Roy Hibbert is a shorter version of Dikembe Mutombo. And I'm saying shorter when we talk about 7-footers, but you get my point. Dikembe was one of the most awkward guys in the world. They would give him the ball, and good God, man, you didn't know. Sometimes he would hit that drop step just right, and other times he might throw the ball over the top of the backboard. That's Roy Hibbert. He is going to be a great defender who is going to be, at best, an average offensive guy, at best. On his best day, Roy Hibbert will be average offensively. That's all the Lakers need from him. And had they been willing to accept that from him in Indiana, it may have ended differently. Everybody keeps saying he's not a dominant center. He is average offensively. That is his ceiling offensively. Defensively, this man can dominate the league. But it's gotten so much into his head that he's not giving enough offensively. You can't give what you don't have. He's never going to be a great offensive player. He's not even really going to be a good one. He'll be average. And average, if he works on every other part of his game and he perfects the average part of his game, will be good enough for him to help a team win.
Okay, the caller number is 917-889-9592 in the midway portion of the show. I think it's about time for me to get underneath my own skin with this situation, and the Oklahoma City Thunder have the ability to match this offer sheet, but right now it looks like Enes Kanter could be headed to Portland. Now, they are actually throwing him the same exact deal that Wes Matthews is being thrown down there in Dallas. He it's a 4-year deal for $70 million for the big man to end up in Portland to actually help lonely all-star point guard Damian Lillard. Well, he does have Mason Plumlee there also. But I want to see how you guys feel about this, alluding to the Thunder situation, how I truly felt that this was the missing piece that the Thunder needed. They always needed a center that can not only be a presence in the paint, but at least give them anywhere from, you know, 8 to a solid 14 points. It was possible because the best that Perkins ever gave them, this is the best season Perkins ever had. He was offering them 4 points a game and 6 rebounds. So at least he was down there boarding, and he was a defensive presence. I'm going to give Perkins some credit. But now you're actually me, you know, being a biased Thunder fan, you're spoiled with a guy that can actually get you 30 and 10 or better, and also outside of Ibaka, too. This could actually work either way. West goes off of a screen and roll, he could pitch it to either one of these big guys because they have the confidence to knock down the shot. But the Trailblazers have now stepped in and made this more of an interesting situation for the Thunder to try and lock up Cantor, if possible. I want to see how you guys feel about either Portland or OKC coming at this situation for Enes Kanter. Chandler, I'll come to you first.
This is Portland's way of doing what teams used to do, which is screw a team in your conference that's a little bit better than you so that you have a better shot at a playoff spot. This offer sheet, they knew Oklahoma City wouldn't match this offer sheet. Let's be honest. They knew Oklahoma City wouldn't match this offer sheet. It's too much money for Enes Kanter. I'm sorry. It's too much money. It's too much money. It's too much money for a guy who has yet to prove he can stay healthy. Let's not forget that particular fact, that he still hasn't proven he can stay healthy in this league. I know he has a lot of skill, and I love his game and all of that. He still ain't proven he can stay healthy. I'm not giving you what are the numbers here? Was it like 70-something million? Is that the number?
4 for $70 million, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not giving him $70 million. Not if you're Oklahoma City. You can't. If you give him 70, what the hell are you going to offer Russell Westbrook? And what are you going to offer Kevin Durant?
Right.
Think about that for a minute. So now you'll have all of your cap money tied up in 3 players. How are you going to field the team? You can't give Enes Kanter that kind of money. You just can't. You can't. I don't blame him for taking the money, but there's no way in the world I offer him that money. I don't match that if I'm Oklahoma City. I don't match it. I don't match it. It's Portland, like I said. And here's the thing. It's not like Portland's going to be a playoff team with him, because they're not. They're not going to be a playoff team with him. So they're giving him $70 million. This is mainly so that they can keep Oklahoma City down in the bottom with them. That's all it is. Oklahoma City better not match this offer, because you have to look long at the long-term viability of your franchise. There are going to be some big men, some viable big men, who may not give you 20 and 10, but will be able to fill the role that he played, which is to give you enough offense to take some of the pressure off of Durant and Westbrook. They're not going to give you 20 and 10, but they can be viable. Now, personally, again, I keep throwing his name, Kostas Koufos. They could have had him. There's some big men out there that they could get that may give them 10 points a game and give them 5 to 8 rebounds. Again, it's not 20 and 10. I get that. But you can make it work for far less money. You could take 35 of that $70 million that you would have given Kanter and get you 2 big bodies. And between those 2 big bodies, you can come up with 20 points and 10 rebounds between those 2 big bodies. You're still getting 20 and 10 out of that position. You're still getting 20 and 10. It's just a matter of how you're getting the 20 and 10. If I'm Oklahoma City, I say, Enes, thank you for everything you did last season. Have a nice life in Portland.
Okay, Slim, your thoughts on the situation? Either Oregon or Oklahoma, it looks like he's headed to Oregon if the Thunder don't match this deal. Do you agree with Chandler? Do you think it's a bit much for a guy like Enes Kanter, knowing his importance to an offense like Oklahoma City? But if he goes to Portland, they're on the rebuild, to me, to be honest. They watch too much walk out of the door, out of that Rose Garden. I think this could actually be something that it will materialize down the road, if I'm saying that correctly. But your thoughts on Enes Kanter, either way, if he's in Oregon or Oklahoma, but it's looking like he's going to be a Blazer.
Well, I'll put it to you like this. I'm going to try to give both sides of the coin. If Oklahoma City decides to go and give Cancer that loot, that lets you know how they feel about their future going forward with Billy Donovan. That means that they're about to go and start swabbing in Oklahoma City. So that would be a telltale sign. Chances are that Oklahoma City does exactly what Chandler just said, and lets the man go. Because that is a lot of money. He hasn't proven anything to where he should be getting $70 million. And, oh, by the way, Mitch McGarry is balling pretty nicely in the Summer League. I still have Ibaka. I still have Steven Adams. It's not like I'm, you know, without big men. I could go and, you know, roll with what I've got and still be able to go and contend. You know, Cancer was kind of a luxury, having him as an extra big man. I mean, that four-man rotation's sick. But, I mean, you know, when I'm kind of going to Summer League because I've been watching a lot of it, Mitch McGarry's game has looked really nice. You know, he's able to go and hit from 15 feet. He can roughhouse a little bit in the paint. You know, he could be one of those people that Chandler was talking about to where you go and match him up with somebody else and you're still able to go get that 20-10. So it's not like Oklahoma City's in a position where they're in dire straits and they really truly have to go and match the Cancer deal. So Portland going and doing what they did, they're letting you know straight up they're in rebuild mode with everything that they've lost. This is a young dude that everybody is really high on as far as playing the interior. He's somebody that can go and get them 20-10, maybe make up lightweight for the loss of not having LaMarcus Aldridge there anymore. But, I mean, in the end, Oklahoma City's going to let you know right here. If they match, that's letting you know what they're going to do after this season's coming up is done going forward, because that's a lot of money to go and tie up in a dude that you really aren't sure in the end is, A, like Chandler said, going to be healthy, B, is really that dude that can go and get you 20-10 on a consistent basis and be that kind of an all-star player. So Oklahoma City, in my opinion, they got plenty to where they can go and let this man go to Portland and not even skip a beat.
Okay, last but not least, Royce, your thoughts on the situation with Cancer. Do you agree with the panel right now that it's a bit much? OKC could work with what they have in the organization. And also, if he does end up in Portland, do you think that this is going to be a long process for the rebuild? Or do you think that he could be an instant impact to keep Portland playoff relevant?
Thomas, I actually think that, you know, the point that Slim made and Chandler both made is right on, is spot on in terms of if Oklahoma City should match this offer within the next 3 days. However, I think for the sake of entertainment, of the business and the revenue sharing, I think they're going to let him walk because all the bigs that have been acquired by Portland this offseason are backups. We know they're role-playing bigs. You know, you might be enamored with Mason Plumlee's athleticism, but look, the guy can't shoot free throws. Ed Davis, he can't shoot free throws. Myers Leonard, he's working. He's a work in progress. He can shoot free throws better than the rest of those guys. Joel Freeland, I think he's going to Russia. Chris Kamen, look, his best days were back in the, you know, as a Clipper when he made the All-Star appearance, I think, once. You know, Enes Kanter is a young bull in the paint right now. They need someone. They need something with Damian Lillard, Jarrell Henderson. They picked up Al-Farouq Aminu. Look, that stuff might not be intimidating, but it's something. Between Lillard, if Lillard and Kanter can have the type of chemistry that Russell Westbrook and Enes Kanter had, they're going to compete. They're going to be in some games. Doesn't mean they're going to make the playoffs. It just means they're going to be a tough team to get a win on from night to night. So I think for the sake of entertainment and for business, I think Enes Kanter gets to walk, make $70 million, and become a Portland Trailblazer. And, you know, it helps with that rebuilding process. It absolutely speeds it up in terms of the front court. I mean, look, he's not, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge, and he's not going to give it to you the way LaMarcus Aldridge did. But I think, again, he's proven he could be a steady double-double. I think he put up like 31 double-doubles last season. A good bulk of those were with the Oklahoma City Thunder. So Damian Lillard needs somebody he could dump it down to when he gets tired of carrying that heavy load from the backcourt. So I like the move, you know, for Enes Kanter as a player, but I'm going to be honest, I really was looking forward to seeing him in OKC with Kevin, with Russell. So I think they need him as well, because Steven Adams just doesn't give it to you like he does, like Enes Kanter does offensively. And Ibaka, I think it would be perfect if Ibaka had Enes Kanter, you know, on the blocks doing his work. And, you know, Ibaka gets off that three-point line and gets back to shooting that mid-range jumper a la Chris Bosh. You know, it just more weapons. That's what I would like to see. But, again, I wouldn't be surprised if, for business sake, OKC lets Enes Kanter walk and become a Portland Trailblazer.
Okay, and like I said, I would have loved to have seen all of it be together with Kanter, Russ, KD, and Ibaka. But for some odd reason, they can't put this together or can't match the offer that Portland's giving them. I don't blame Kanter for going out there and getting his money, because after what a lot of the NBA seen, what he was able to do with OKC and being able to fit as soon as he got to Oklahoma, you can't get mad at what Portland's trying to do after watching LaMarcus and Lopez walk out of the door. Slim, the next topic I have, I'm going to come straight to you and see how you feel about this one. And you are our Sacramento representative, if you will. All of the things that the Kings are trying to make happen right now with the draft and also pulling in interesting names, your thoughts with the Bellinelli situation, with Kostas as well coming in there, they're loading up. Your thoughts on Sacramento in this Western Conference, especially with the free agency frenzy looming around?
Kind of proud of my team. I'm kind of proud of Sacramento. They went and got that little bit of cap space and actually were kind of, you know, frugal with it and got some interesting pieces. Rondo for 1 year, $10 million. I'll take it. Need a point guard. Bellinelli, need a shooter. I'm with that. Getting Kufis to go and play in the middle, that kind of gives us a nice little rotation with him, Cousins, and Willie Cauley-Stein. I'm not mad at all. I'm not saying that it's a playoff move. I'm not saying that we got a playoff roster, but we got some depth, and the team is looking pretty good. We're looking viable. We got rid of some players that we need to get rid of. Derek Williams, and seeing Derek Williams go to the Knicks was a beautiful thing. I know that kind of made Chandler upset. I found that kind of funny because he was just saying how we thought that dude stunk and he ended up in New York. But that was good to go and lose him. Getting rid of Jason Thompson. I mean, I like Jason Thompson as a player, but he was a player that needed to get a fresh start. You know, wish him luck. I want to say he went to Philly. We got rid of the right people. Nick Stauskas, you know, the Carl Landry contract. I'm glad we got rid of all that. And we actually brought in some players that could actually go and contribute. We're looking kind of deep. We got another point guard. I'm loving the fact that we actually got a shooter. That's my biggest thing, is we're one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the NBA. So getting Bellinelli is going to help. In the end, it's just about, man, will Boogie and George Karl go and get along? I'm loving the moves, though. When you can go and get those three people, Kufis looked really good with Memphis in the playoffs last year. But you can go and get those three, you know, and hopefully Rondo can go and revitalize himself. Sacramento's just the type of city to where a player like him can go and revitalize himself. He's supposed to be good boys with Rudy Gay. So if things work out, I mean, on paper, we're looking kind of decent. If things work out, we could be contending for that bottom part. I mean, I'm still thinking, I think I'll hit you in the inbox. We're competing for 10th. But if we can go and sneak up into 9 or 8, that'd be kind of cool. I'm liking the moves.
Okay, this is very interesting because it looks like Sacramento gets back into the fray of things, and this is looking like the early 2000s. And I don't really want to compare Boogie to them, but they do have similar features in the paint. And this is when C. Webb was going animal in the paint till C. Webb really found a jumper and really started trying to knock down a jump shot. But I want to see how you guys feel about this Sacramento team out west with the moves that they've been able to get some of the interesting free agents there, along with the rookie Willie Cauley-Stein as well. How this team will materialize out west Chandler, I'll come to you. Your thoughts on the Kings, do they actually make it interesting all across the board in the Western Conference, or are they still on the rebuild trying to find their way?
Okay, first of all, don't ever compare DeMarcus Cousins to Chris Webber, because Chris Webber on his best day wishes he had the talent DeMarcus Cousins has. Let's be clear on
On his best day,
he's not as good as DeMarcus Cousins. Don't do it to yourself, okay? DeMarcus Cousins is the best player that franchise has had since they were in Cincinnati, hands down. The best player they've had since they were in Cincinnati.
Wow.
Okay? Well, that's how much talent that young man has. That's how much I like DeMarcus Cousins, okay? When Royce and I were having that conversation about Roy Hibbert, man, please. Roy Hibbert would kill to be half of DeMarcus Cousins, okay? Half of DeMarcus Cousins, okay? This is I like what they've done. I still don't like the coach. This topic is why I don't have a Twitter account right now, because Sacramento fans apparently have fallen in love with George Karl, even though he's trying to destroy their franchise. But I like the moves. But I also think that if you look at the personalities involved here, if they keep George Karl as coach, by game 25, that team will implode. By game 25. That is the problem right now, is you can't have those personalities all in the same room. DeMarcus Cousins already doesn't trust the coach, okay? The coach has already poisoned some of the players against DeMarcus Cousins. Let's bring Rajon Rondo into this, because that'll work out just fine. Because, you know, George Karl doesn't always have issues with his point guards who happen to be headstrong. And Rajon Rondo is one of the most level-headed guys we know, isn't he? Come on, man. the talent they brought in is good. I like the talent they brought in. I don't like the setup of this team. The makeup of this team is wrong. You got the wrong coach. You have the wrong players for the coach. They still have to choose. They still have to choose between the coach and the players. They still have to choose. That's the problem. If they choose the coach and they get rid of a couple of guys with the guys they brought in, they can still compete for the eighth spot. If they choose the players and bring in the coach for these players, they're a seven seed easy. But you can't keep these two groups together and think that you are not going to wind up as a lottery team. Game 25, write it down. Game 25, if they keep this coach with these players, it's going to be all over but the shop.
Whoa. Karl messing me up already. You want to say something, Slim, before I get moving?
Oh, no, let Royce go, and then I'll cap off the dish. No, I want to hear everybody's opinion on this one, because this one is fascinating.
Okay, Royce, your thoughts on what's been said up until this point, and do you agree, Boogie or C-Web, who do you like in comparison? But I'll let you allude to it.
Well, you know, what's going on in Sacramento, I think Chandler, again, he nails it, man. He gets it. This Sacramento Kings team, as currently constituted with George Karl, it's just not going to work. Someone's got to go. And in my opinion, I think George Karl is going to be the guy who goes, and it's a matter of time. But until he goes, we have to consider, well, what will this team do as it is constituted? That being said, it's not going to do well. It's going to be volatile from game to game. And you'll lose players, in my opinion. You'll lose your locker room. The commitment won't be there. The chemistry, the cohesion will be off. And again, he pointed it out. You're going to bring in Rajon Rondo, really, with with George Karl? That's just not going to work. That's not going to work. Darren Collison, look. He's a decent point guard, but I don't think he's the answer. Even if you play them both together, it's a problem. Slim, I don't know what you're really going to do, but like Chandler said, you get the right coach. and it is a possibility they're right where they would have been, in my opinion, had they not fired Mike Malone. And that is competing for spot 7 or 8. It's just a matter of time. DeMarcus Cousins definitely has the capabilities and the skills to carry a franchise, to carry a team. He showed it last season. He was carrying that team. Rudy Gay was obviously making his contributions, but we know, again, DeMarcus Cousins is the focal point. He's that guy. But if they don't figure that out in the front office, if they don't choose DeMarcus Cousins over George Karl, then that's the real issue. And everything else, it just plays out from that, in my opinion. Now, the whole, you know, is Weber or Cousins better? Look, I like Weber at the Fab Five and Michigan and all that kind of stuff, but, I mean, they're similar. They both done some boneheaded things. I think they both got, you know, the ability to knock down, you know, the mid-range over. They both can pass, can, you know, dribble the ball and go coast to coast. You know, Weber has more bounce, you know, more athleticism, was known for being, you know, more of a shot blocker. You know, but DeMarcus Cousins improved his shot blocking last season. He still doesn't have the lift that Weber once had. Better? It's a matter of opinion. It's close, though.
Yes.
I ain't going to lie. Chandler, it ain't like Chandler off his rocker. I mean, it's close. It's real close. And I mean, like, depending on, you know, how much footage I go back and look at, man, I might go with Cousins, because right now I'm a Cousins fan more than I really was ever a Weber fan. So, you know, in my heart, I go with Cousins, but out of respect, you know, whew, it's close. That's a good one, brothers. That's a good one. Y'all can settle that. Leave me out of it.
See what I mean? Okay. Slim, who do you like? Slim, you've seen both games from start to finish. Who do you think, Webb or Boogie?
Oh, my Lord, man. Oh, my Lord. Oh, can I say Anthony Bonner or Dwayne Coswell or Raymond Tisdale or something?
No, don't be gutless. Don't be gutless.
Oh, you know I won't be. Look, to go and be real at this stage in the career right now, I'll take Boogie. I'll take Boogie over Chris Webber at this stage. Because, look, Boogie got game, man. He can face up, put the ball on the floor and get to the rim. He can play with his back to the basket. I mean, his double-doubles are monstrous. I mean, I'm not trying to say Chris Webber didn't have those kind of things. You know, Chris Webber was more athletic and a little faster than Boogie. But, I mean, you know, just all-around game at this stage in their career, Boogie is a better player than Chris Webber. It's just that when Chris Webber probably did hit Sacramento, they had the right personnel around them. They have Lottie. They went and drafted Peja. Went and got Doug Christie, free agent. Had Jay Will for that hot minute, and then went and traded him away and got Bibby. Then they went and enhanced the bench mob, you know, with Scott Pollard and Bobby Jackson. Had Corliss Williamson on the bench, Lawrence Funderburk. I mean, they have boys. So, I mean, in the end, Chris Webber was kind of a product of his environment. And that's what they're trying to do with Boogie right now. They're trying to go – I see what they're doing. It's like the Kings always – the Kings are kind of like the Oakland Raiders of the NBA. They go and get all the people that nobody else wants. Everybody thinks Rudy Gay's washed up, can't shoot, can't score, he's done with. He goes to Toronto, he sucks. Come to Sacramento, go get your career revitalized. Rajon Rondo, former champion, washed up, can't play point guard no more, didn't get along with anybody in Dallas. Come to Sacramento, get your career revitalized. You know, that's just how Sacramento rolls. And you go and get Bellinelli and these people. Look, the personnel's straight. That's what I was saying. Everything I see on the floor with Sacramento makes sense with my team. I like the personnel, but it's the suits, man. The suits is what's messing up my squad right now. It's definitely front office slash coach. Man, if we could go and get rid of George Karl and bring in somebody that can manage a gang of personalities, we need the NBA version of John Madden. Or John Gruden. We need like
Van Gundy would be perfect right now. You know what I'm saying? I don't know, man. We need a different coach. We need a coach that's kind of nuts himself. You know what I'm saying? Jeff Van Gundy would be so perfect because he's off just enough to be able to go and deal with all the personalities that's in that locker room. He'd be able to go and get them unified, and then we could go and – I'm still saying, even with what we got, 10th spot, 9th spot, that sounds about right for my team. And I'm with everybody. If we just had the right coach to go and manage everything that's going on, you know, it would be on. And I mean, man, if I wish we could go and throw some money at Jeff Van Gundy right now. I want to say he lives in the Bay even. Can we get Jeff Van Gundy?
Now, is it a situation where you would take Van Gundy or Mark Jackson? That's one thing. And two, I don't know if we're comparing this because I think, what, DeMarcus is in his third or fourth season, and around the time Weber was in his third or fourth season, he was in Washington leading his Wizards team. At the given time, he was leading his Wizards team to the postseason. Now, I know it's loaded in the Western Conference, I know, but name some people on that Wizards team that was with Chris Webber. Name some. That's what I'm talking about.
Juwan Howard, Calvin
Chaney was not killing people back then. Let's be honest. Calvin Chaney was a college player. Calvin wasn't killing dudes in the NBA.
Okay.
Let's be honest. I don't know if we're comparing this to a DeMarcus, I mean, a Chris Webber in Sacramento, or at the speculation of time in their careers. But be honest, Chris Webber at this point in time in their careers, I know DeMarcus has put up some illustrious games in his path right now, but there's been games where DeMarcus has fell asleep. There has been games where DeMarcus fell asleep. I can only think about two power forwards at that given time that would give Chris Webber hell. And at that time, and that was Tim Duncan and possibly KG. And he would get the better of KG in that matchup at that given time in his career, early, fresh out of Michigan. So I don't know. That's an interesting debate. That is an interesting debate, I must say. But right now, I give Webb the edge. I give Webb the edge. I know people are fascinated by the numbers, but this is an interesting situation that you guys addressed in the kitchen previously to a guy like Kevin Love. Kevin Love had to put those numbers up in Minnesota. DeMarcus had to put those numbers up in Sacramento. And Weber had to do the same thing out there watching them, but they actually succeeded. Love and DeMarcus didn't make the postseason. Never while they were out there doing their thing with a team that actually watched their man be the star at the fourth position. Weber actually got to the postseason and got bumped by Mike. Right? Right?
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. All right. Any other interesting signing? We got Jordan Hill that went to the Pacers. I'll let you guys throw a topic or two out there. I'll come to you first, Chandler. Do you got an interesting signing? Anything that you may have seen that your boys may have done? Your boy Porzingis also got injured in his first workout with the Knicks 5 minutes into the workout. If you want to speak on that, I don't want to crack that as a joke because I know karma is a bad chick, and I don't even want to do – you know, anything like that. But, Chandler, anything that you'd like to allude to as we pass this one around the cafe?
No, not really, but just you asked the question. Calvert Chaney, Harvey Grant, Juwan Howard, Jaren Jackson, Tim Legwood, George Mirison when he was just standing up there blocking everything came his way. Tracy Murray when he was dropping trays on people from half.
Yeah.
Rod Strickland, when Rod Strickland was still a beast in the league. Ben Wallace, by the way. Don't tell me Chris Webber didn't handle by any team. What's wrong with you,
ben
son?
Ben was a bum right there.
Come on,
ben
son.
Wallace
Come
was
on,
a bum
son.
Right there.
Come on, son.
Ben Wallace was a bum right there. Ben Wallace was tough in Washington, honestly.
He was rebounding and playing defense. He just wasn't getting enough credit for it at the time. Don't get me listening. I'm going to break out the Ed Love on you. Come on, son.
Listen. Kobe made him a forever poster when he was in Washington. Forever. If you didn't see that work. Wallace didn't get his swag until he got to Detroit. He did. We got notable names. Legler, like you don't even like Legler. You don't even like Legler. How do you say Tim Legler? Really?
I'm trying to make my point. I'm reaching with Legler. I get that, but I'm trying to make my point.
He was shooting a three-point contest. Legler wasn't no game shooter. He wasn't game ready. Honest.
Three-point champion.
Look up Leonard's numbers per game. If you really call these dudes killers, him, Tracy. I want to see all these dudes' numbers that they putting up beside Weber. I bet you Weber still was the dude that outlasted them and still led them to the playoffs. Yes or no?
Him and Howard, I want to say both averaged 20, and Chaney was putting up about 15, 16. Strickland, I'm not even looking. I'm just throwing numbers out there, but I'm pretty confident I'm on that. Strickland was at least one of the top two or three in assists and putting up about 14.
I don't have a problem with Rod. I'm a biased Rod Strickland fan. I don't have a problem with Rod.
Tracy Murray was getting close to 10. Then after that, then he started to have to fall off. Ben Wallace, not much. Jeff Wagler, probably not much. Harvey Grant was probably double figures.
Harvey at that point in his career?
Okay, all right. Juwan Howard was 19 a game. Chris Webber was 20 a game. Rod was 17 a game. Talbot was 10 a game. And George Mirazon, who people feared actually could play a little bit, before his knees gave out on him, he was 10 a game.
Oh, my goodness. So wait, who started at the five? Because Juwan and George Mirazon can't play at the same time.
No, Juwan was playing. Wrong. That's where you're wrong. Juwan Howard was actually – well, yeah, him and George, but still though, you talk about like Chris Webber. Chris Webber was averaging a point more a game than Juwan Howard. You act like he was best.
Right.
Come on.
Okay. He's leading the team, yes or no?
By 0.9 points, really? That's what you're going to hang your hand on? A 0.9 point?
If you thought about the Wizards at this point in time, did you think about Juwan or did you think about Webb?
I thought about Juwan, personally. I thought about Juwan because I was never a Chris Webber fan. I was always a Juwan Howard guy. I thought Juwan Howard was far more talented than Chris Webber ever was, personally.
Both of them on the team, when it was Webber and Juwan Howard both on the team with Calvert Chaney, that was one of the sickest young front lines in the NBA at that time. That was a sick front line. Small four,
hey, Calvert
five, four,
did you pin a game?
Hey, Calvert handled his wax. I bet his percentage wasn't whack.
I bet you it's in the mid to high 30s. I bet you.
I bet you Calvert was at least 44%.
He was dealing with Grant Hill and them in Detroit. Look, this is what I'm talking about. Sports City, we kind of dish it. This is be an interesting, heated debate. Believe me. Royce, any dish that you like to bring to the cafe?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah. I was asking about Rasheed Wallace. Didn't he play for the Bullets with Webber and Howard?
He was there for a season and left after that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I pulled up 96-97 is the season I pulled up.
Okay. Right. I just couldn't remember how many seasons he was down there, but I knew they had all three of them.
And I'm biased because I like she, but she was behind Webb.
No.
I think they were there at the same time. They were there at the same time.
They were there at the same time, and she was on the bench. And that actually hurts me because I'm a Sheed fan. that's how much talent Webb had.
Oh, come on, son.
No.
All I know is when she got to Portland and he got in go mode, he handed every power forward the business. And I do mean every power forward. Any power forward you name, Rasheed Wallace handed them all they had head to head.
Right. That's why I'm in love with Sheed. If it wasn't for Shaquille O'Neal, Portland could have been in that finals in 2000. I think if Shaq didn't catch that dunk, they were down 15 in the fourth, and the Lakers legacy started right there. Anything else that you guys would like to address to the cafe before we get ready to shut it down? We are at the doorstep of the end of the show, though. Okay, the silent tells me these guys are eating. They're eating. I'm telling you, I'm trying. Okay, well, Port City, I know we had a free agency frenzy. I know we got more to get into. A lot of interesting moves. I know they are not done. But check us out, man. We still have dishes going around this kitchen. I need plugs and promos from all three of you before we shut down the cafe tonight. I'll start with you first, Royce. I need anything that you like to promote, plug, anything you'd like to get out there to Sports City here at the cafe.
Well, Thomas, man, I'm glad I was able to make it. I wish I could stop by tomorrow. I think that's what's at the round table. Shout out to, you know, the round table on Friday. Those of you listening, please come back. Enjoy what the chefs will be cooking up inside Sports City on Friday. Wish y'all the best, man. Thanks for having me.
For sure. That, you know you're home in the kitchen, man. That, definitely go ahead and get all cleaned up, man. I know you've been running, call it technical fouls on dudes. I know you're that type of ref, man. I hope you ain't like Crawford. That's for sure.
Yo, I did call a tech today.
Say it again?
I did call a technical foul today.
Who knows you but your brother? That's crazy.
He
had to get back in that coach's box. I know. Don't play that. Okay. Slim, I need a plug. Close out anything that you'd like to promote as we shut down the cafe.
Man, just nice to be up in the kitchen on a Thursday. You know, it was hotter than all heck out here. Check me out on Twitter. That's when Fitz the Fourth. Man, follow everything the Sports City Chefs does. 7 days a week, these dudes are cooking up something. BustingBrackets.com, college basketball. Man, I'm covering Summer League right now. Miles Turner's actually kind of making us look kind of silly right now with Indiana. That's the only thing I would go and throw out from Summer League. Him and Stanley Johnson impressed me the most. Oh, and Aaron Gordon is killing it too. He's having like 21 and 11. But BustingBrackets.com, our fan site, go and check that out. College basketball, everybody's over there writing and they're talented. And I'm covering this Summer League. We're having fun, man. And I might make a cameo tomorrow. I don't know, man. I don't have nothing to do right now between classes. So, I might make a cameo at the cookout. I don't know. Sports City Chefs, keep listening.
Okay. Look, him and Roy, they letting y'all know they doing extra duty in the kitchen, man. They doing extra duty in the kitchen. Mr. Knight, you already know what to do about this time. Shut it down.
A lot of fun tonight, Royce. Slim, thanks for coming. It's been an interesting all season. I'm glad Mark Cuban got screwed over. And all I'm going to say about those great Washington Bullets teams, not Wizards, Bullets teams, was that the front court was viewed as stacked because they had George Mirazon and Jim McElvain. So how good could Weber have been when he was put in the same class as George Mirazon and Jim McElvain?
Webb, they picking on you. I'm trying, man. I'm swinging for you, Webb, and I didn't even like you because y'all was going up against my Sonics back then. I wasn't happy, man, and I'm still a Sean Kemp fan. All that. Y'all already know I'm Thunder Sonic affiliated. I can't take it, but I'm still taking Webb over Boogie. Boogie got at least 3 more years to show me something. At least get the Kings to the postseason. At least do that. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. We'll be back here tomorrow with the roundtable, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On that note, tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Let me get my thing, music. Let me get my thing, music.
Hey, let me get my thing.
Let me get my thing, music.
Baby, just forget everything that you know. got the airplane passes, aviator glasses. She be looking fly like aviator classes. So classy, Jacqueline on asses. Used to stick and move like Ollie Cassius. Massive, like Kennedy's assassin. We was killing time like clocks in the casket. Perhaps it's time to prevail. I show you Gotham City like I'm Christian Bale. I could be Barack and let you be Michelle. Miguel, Giselle, dress fresh as hell. Louis, Gucci, in that pastel. Adore, Dior, ride down Lake Shore. She felt the vibe, I had to make sure. She felt deprived, living like she died. Slide with a G, now she felt revived. I'm in town for the night, see somebody wifey. The air ye, she never seen me. So the moment I might seize, I done come about the...